Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all.
Mike Westendorf, this is Kella Koontz, and we are your bridge hosts. And so for our bridge family, I've got about 13 of you watching. Sharon and Ellen, good morning and welcome to the bridge. Glad to have you guys here today. We thought we'd try something different.
We're going to try this.
We're going to give this a shot. So Kella, why don't you just say hi to everybody who's watching online.
Hi, I'm Kella. It's so great that you're here. I'm so happy that you joined us online. It's so great that this is an opportunity that you can show up and come to church, even though church isn't always in person right now, but that's totally okay. It's great.
Yeah. And we've got people who come in from all over the country too. I'm not sure if Christine's on yet, but we usually will see here. Evelyn, good morning. Good to have you guys here today as well. For those of you who come regularly to the Bridge Online, you can probably tell us what the announcements already are. Ministry kind of slows down in the COVID space, but there is a lot of good stuff that's coming too. And I want to make you aware of just a couple of things. So if you go ahead and click on to the next one.
Yeah.
And I'm Mike Westendorf. Sally Wallner will be helping to say hi to those of you who are online. Sue and Kathy, good morning. Welcome. Good to have you guys here. These are some of the announcements. So some of our Bible study pieces that you need to know about. If you want to get involved in a Zoom group, Pastor Pete, who's giving the sermon today, has been leading kind of an in-depth look at the message that we've just done, and he's been doing this every other Thursday. And so if you would like to be a part of a Zoom group, it's really important to be connected to the body of Christ, and especially it's great to be able to be under the teaching, too, of some of our pastors. And so contact Pastor Pete. That's an important one, I think, for people to be able to be a part of.
Totally agree.
That next one is Pastor Nate in Following the Promise. Have you had a chance to do this yet?
I have never done it. I really want to, though.
Yeah, and he has he's on vacation this week, so he'll be picking up again here very soon. But it is a great place to explore Christianity or get back to the foundation and the fundamentals of Christianity, too. So Pastor Nate's information is right there on the screen, nstrobel@stpaulmuskego.org. So contact him if you would like to be a part of this growth group. Meets for about 13 weeks, and it's in person and online, so it's a good thing.
All right.
You could talk about this one a little bit.
The Young Adult Bible Study. Yeah, so this is on Sundays, and it's with Mike, and we get this group together online, and we really just sit down and have a Bible study. We talk a little bit, and then we have a little fun at the end. We usually play some Jackbox games online, but it's really just a good opportunity for people my age, the 18 to 25, to just connect and just really learn about God's Word together.
Yeah, and Sunday, August 23rd, I'll be leading the next one. Jill Dunbar does every other Friday, and I'm leading us through the book of Nehemiah, and we're taking a look at how do we speak the truth in an area that's challenged by that. We're going to keep moving on a couple of other things. We've got to keep things moving forward. So a couple things. If you've got questions about Christian education, please contact Seth Fitzsimmons. And then if you've got want to have information on child care, so a lot of schools are kind of coming back if you're looking for something. That too, if you click onto the next one for him, Kella, yeah. You can contact Tammy there as well.
All right.
All right, so a couple of other things. If life is challenging, our pastors are available. You can keep going with it. And I got to step back because we've got to wrap up. Give online is the way to go. I'll talk about this in the break as well. But Kella, I'm going to go and head up there. Why don't you close this out? Because we got some other things that they do need to know about.
So, of course.
And good morning to Angie and Sarah and Lori and Pete.
And all the people. Good morning. Just a heads up, next week there is going to be an outdoor worship service. There's an outdoor worship service, and it's August 23rd at 10:30. It's going to be outside. If it rains, it's going to be in the sanctuary. So just a heads up for that. Come out, come have fun. And then today we are talking about In View of God's Mercy. It's the message series for this week, and we're doing this till September 6th. Last week, Pastor Pete talked about tools, and this week we're still going to have some more tools, and we're going to see what he brings us. And today, Mike is the worship leader. He just ran up there. Pastor Pete is today's speaker. And just a bit of our songs. Oh, Praise His Name is going to be the first song. My Victory, There Came a Light, and Proof of Your Love. Have a great service. Cursed tree.
welcome to the bridge. You guys may be seated.
Mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace is getting what we don't deserve. There's a lot of tension in our world right now. How do we cope with people who act and think different than we do? How do we deal with people who mistreat us? How do we overcome? Let God's mercy to us be our motivation. Let God's grace be the foundation of our compassion. Look back to the cross and empty tomb. Remember the unfathomable grace and mercy we have received. How do we deal with tension? We find the answers when we remember to live in view of God's mercy.
Start back here behind the cross, back here at the back of the lives under the cross in view of God's mercy, and that we offer our entire lives. Because God has been merciful to us, we offer our entire lives in service to God, and that service to God is primarily by serving other people. Last week we heard how, you know, the Apostle Paul explains that we are all gifted in different ways. Gifted so that we can offer humble service to each other. But the Apostle Paul goes on then and explains that there is one essential ingredient if we are going to serve one another in a humble way, in a way that makes a difference. The one thing that's most needed is love. Listen to how the Apostle Paul goes on. In Romans chapter 12, he says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who bless you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Last week, I shared with you that my wrench set is incomplete. By the way, I never did get any 7/16-inch wrench out of that deal. I was a little surprised. But I did see that some of you grimaced when I pulled my pliers out. I could see in your eyes, no, don't use a pliers on a 7/16th inch nut. You're just going to round the edges and ruin everything. Well, as I think about our lesson for today, I realize I'm a pliers. Because the problem is, I work with a lot of imperfect nuts. And it's really hard to hold on to them in love. And so I just make matters worse. And the Apostle Paul, you know, is very serious about this whole idea of how important love is in the use of spiritual gifts. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, Paul talks about spiritual gifts there as well as here in Romans 12. And in that context, he also emphasizes how important love is, that without love, we ruin everything. We become like pliers and just make everything worse. This is the way the Apostle Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Without love, we ruin everything. So the Apostle Paul, as he goes on in Romans 12 and talks about us offering our lives in service to God by serving others, using the gifts that God has given us, the very next words are, love must be sincere. And that word sincere, I like the Greek better. It's love without hypocrisy, love unhypocritically. And hypocrisy is from two Greek words, hypo and krisis. Hypo is under, and krisis is judgment. So, you know, wearing a mask is great because I can say, I love you with my eyes. But there's this under judgment. You hurt me, you disappointed me, you're not good enough for me, whatever. You know, we all have that ability to love with this under judgment. So Paul says, if we are going to offer our lives in view of God's mercy, offer our lives in humble service to use the gifts and abilities that God has given us, if we're going to do that, we have to get rid of this love that has this under judgment. Now, I'm sure that the Apostle Paul was thinking, people will be asking, what does that mean? How do I do that in my daily life? So he uses 12 phrases. It's just interesting that there is only one main verb in the first paragraph, for those of you who love English, only one main verb, love unhypocritically, and then there are 12 phrases that describe what does it mean, how do you do that? What does that mean for my daily life? And as I read over those 12 things, I began to come up with a different tool that I want to be. I don't want to be a pliers that ruins everything. I want to be a vice grip. Because a vice grip has this knob at the end, right? That can loosen or tighten. And a vice grip is great because even though the nut is misshapen, you clamp onto it and you can make progress and get it loose. So, think of a vice grip. As we just walk through those 12 points, what does it mean for us? If we want to give our lives to our Savior in a love that doesn't have this under judgment, he says, hate what is evil. The first step, crank it down. Hate what is evil. Hate what's evil that you see within yourself. Cling to what is good. To look at other people and see what is good and admirable about them. Be devoted to one another in love. Focus on other people. Honor one another above yourselves. I want you to take first place. I think that the Apostle Paul, as the Holy Spirit's leading him to kind of crank down on the vice grip, he knows this is hard. And so he goes on and he says, never be lacking in zeal. Again, the Greek is more fun. It says, don't be lazy. It is hard to love the imperfect nuts that you live with and work with. Don't be lazy. This is spoken to our own sinful natures. Don't be lazy. Be zealous in the Spirit. To recognize I don't have what it takes to love people, and they don't have what it takes to love me. We need the Spirit working in us. Be zealous in the Spirit. Serving the Lord. Key point. We get tired of trying to love people who aren't very lovable, who don't appreciate all the sacrifices that we are making for them. But who are you serving? Remember, in view of God's mercy, we live under the cross. We are God's forgiven children. Under the cross, in view of God's mercy, we offer our bodies as living sacrifices to God in service to others. You're really not serving the person who doesn't appreciate your service. You are serving the Lord. And nothing you do is ever forgotten or taken for granted. It's hard. And so he goes on, be joyful in hope. You and I, under the cross, have hope. We have hope that we are forgiven. We have hope that we are going to share in the glory of our Savior. When we die, we are going to be with our Savior in glory, and we can't even begin to understand what that glory is going to be like. We have that hope, but we also have the hope that everything's going to be okay, that He will make all things work out according to His plan for us. That's here in Romans 8. And so, when you get tired, when it doesn't seem to be working out, remember your hope and be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. Don't be surprised that it's hard. You know, the gospel lesson in the other services, it's in Matthew 14. It is the feeding of the 5,000. Our Savior does amazing things. He can do amazing things. But it's interesting, the gospel lesson begins with just this little phrase, after Jesus heard this report, he went to a solitary place. What's the report that he heard? John the Baptist had been beheaded. Jesus, why didn't you use your power that you used to feed the 5,000 to save John the Baptist? Do Jesus didn't promise it's going to be easy. Be patient in affliction. Don't be surprised it's hard. Faithful and fervent, faithful in prayer. We need help. Call upon your God to work miracles in you. And then he says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. This is another place where, you know, this good English, share with the Lord's people, but it's missing, it's lost a key word that's there in Greek that we need to claim for ourselves. It's literally share in the needs of the saints and then practice love for strangers. That your needs are my needs and my needs are your needs when you and I remember who we are. Now, I don't know about you, but I read this command from our God to love without the under judgment. And then I read these 12 different ways that Paul describes what that means in my daily life, and I am filled with a sense of guilt. I failed. And so that's why I'd just like to pause right now and just claim who you and I are in God's sight. What is our identity? For many of us, our identity is, I am a sinner. And we are. But I would invite you to, let's just confess those sins and claim a new identity, an identity of saint. So I would invite you to please stand. And let's make a confession together. Paul wrote, please join with me in what's yellow. Love must be sincere. Let us, privately, in our own hearts, just spend a moment and confess the hidden judgments that we make about others in our hearts. Family members, co-workers. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. Let us confess the times we have claimed innocence for ourselves in a strained relationship and cast blame on others. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Let us confess the times we have grown tired of the work of loving the unlovable, have not sought the Lord's help in prayer. If we confess our sins, our God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. The blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from every sin. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven. Lord, I live in view of your mercy. I trust that I am forgiven. I am a saint. Perfect, holy in your sight, for Jesus' sake, amen. I am a saint. That's our victory, right?
Amen. We sing about that. We'll stay standing. We'll sing a song.
Criminals and every Pharisee, you came for hypocrites, even one like me.
Who are you? I am a saint. Who are you? I am a saint. Who are you? Super. Now you can sit down because there's something else I want to share with you about this whole idea of unhypocritical love. You see, I love the idea of me being a vice grip, you and I being a vice grip, that God helps us to tighten down so that we can love the unlovable people around us. But you know, there's something else about a vice grip. A vice grip has this little lever that you can go like this. And it releases things too. That's the second part of the chapter. You see, if you and I are going to love somebody unhypocritically, without that under judgment, then you and I have to let go of something. We have to let go of sinful self-love. Now, there is an appropriate self-love. How can we love our neighbor as ourselves if we don't love ourselves? You and I have an appropriate self-love when we live in view of God's mercy here under the cross and we claim this identity. I am a saint, right? If my God loves me, then I can love myself. That's appropriate self-love. But you and I have this sinful nature that wants to find self-love in what we do and the abilities God has given us, and we compare ourselves with others. And we have to, if we're going to love people unhypocritically, we have to let go of that self-love. Twice in the next paragraph, Paul says, let go of pride. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. That's necessary if we are going to let go of the incredible desire that you and I have for revenge. Holy Spirit, come and work a miracle in us so that we can let that go. Paul says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. There's a part of us that says, don't you know how important I am? How could you possibly do something like that to me? I deserve to do something like that back to you. We have to let go, with the Spirit's help, to the self-love, to let go that desire to repay evil for evil. Instead, he says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, Paul isn't saying, do what's right in the eyes of everyone else contrary to God's word. He's not saying, go sin to help make everybody else happy. But what he is saying is let go of the self-pride so that you are humble enough and curious enough to know where somebody else is coming from. You know, there's so much division in our world right now. You know, the mask thing, the presidential race, the protests. And it's easy for us to think that we have a perfect and full understanding of everything that's going on. And we sit in judgment, perhaps a hidden judgment, on the people around us. Let's let go of the self-love. And let's be humble enough to recognize there are other points of view other than just my own. I appreciate what Bishop T.D. Jakes encouraged us to do at the Global Leadership Summit. He said, gather around you a group of people who think differently than you do, who speak differently than you do, so that we can begin to see the world from their perspective. So that we understand, why do they do what they do? They have a good reason for doing what they do that might be different from what we do. Unhypocritical love. The love that's going to make a difference in this world is a love that says, I'm willing to humble myself to learn, to understand people who think very differently than me. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Then he goes on, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Those words remind me of another speaker at the Global Leadership Summit, Lisa Turkhurst. Some of you may know her. She is the head of Proverbs 31 ministry. I hear that ministry quite often referenced on Christian radio stations. And Lisa, in her presentation, shared a very personal story. 2016 was supposed to be one of the most amazing years in her life and in her family's life. Two of her kids were going to got married in 2016. They were so much looking forward. What a great time for family celebrations. Early in 2016, she found out that her husband was unfaithful. World is destroyed. She shared that she went to a counselor, and the counselor asked her, Lisa, do you want to begin the healing process? And she said, yes, I do. And the counselor said, okay, then it's time to start learning about forgiveness. She said, I'm not ready to talk about forgiveness. The pain is too great, too real. I can't even think about forgiveness. He's not sorry. We're not reconciled. How can I forgive? The counselor said, here, take this stack of note cards and start writing down every way that he has hurt you. And she wrote, and she'd put the card down on the floor, and she'd write some more, and put the card down, and write some more, and put the card down, and put the card down, and put the card down, and put the card down. Pretty soon, the floor was basically covered with these note cards. The pain was incredible. And then the counselor acknowledged, you have reason to be in pain. You have reason to be angry. He hurts you. And that's true for each of you here and those of you who are online as well. It doesn't have to be this huge thing like what Lisa experienced. It can be the frustrations of family members and co-workers, neighbors, classmates, friends, that they disappointed you, that they let you down, that they said something that really hurt. The things that maybe you think about in the middle of the night and boom, you're just as angry as ever. What do you do with that? How can you possibly let go of that? Let's just acknowledge that we all live in a world of imperfect nuts who hurt us, and we hurt them too. And then what the counselor did is, after he acknowledged there is reason for hurt, he took a stack of red pieces of felt and gave them to Lisa and said, now cover each one of those with this red felt. Now, I don't have that many pieces of red felt, but I did find a red blanket. And the message was obvious. Lisa lived under the cross in view of God's mercy. The blood of Jesus Christ her Savior had washed her sins away. She was a saint in God's sight. And the Savior had also died for all of those sins that hurt her. And forgiveness is not saying it didn't hurt, or that it's okay, or that we're going to get back together again. Forgiveness is simply admitting that I'm not the judge, to release that sense of self-pride and self-love, to release it and say, I'm not the judge. If vengeance is necessary, my God will carry out vengeance. But I'm thankful that I have received God's mercy. And I pray that the person who hurt me would seek that mercy from God as well. The Apostle Paul goes on and he quotes Proverbs. He says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. If you treat an enemy who has hurt you in a way that shows unhypocritical love, you'll make him blush. Heap burning coals on his head. I don't deserve this. Our sinful nature wants to hold on to prideful self-love and make ourselves the judge and to carry out vengeance, to repay evil with evil. But Paul says, do not be overcome by evil. If we hold on to that selfish, prideful love that says, I need to carry out vengeance, we will be destroyed by evil. We will be overcome by that evil. He says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And so that's why I pray that every one of us becomes a vice grip. That the Holy Spirit works in us as we hear what it means to love without that under judgment. And we pray, Lord, help me crank down on what it really means to love the unlovable around me so that I can hold on to them and be a blessing to them as you want me to be a blessing to them. And Holy Spirit, release in me that sinful pride and love of myself. I'm a pliers. By nature, I ruin everything because I don't love that way. Can God make you and me vice grips? We got a God who does miracles. The gospel lesson for today is he fed the 5,000. When you pray the Lord's Prayer in just a moment, and you pray, give us this day our daily bread, would you remember the vice grips and say, Lord, part of that daily bread that I want is give me daily strength to be this tool in your hand. It is impossible. It will take a miracle, but our God does miracles. In fact, he promises that he can do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. His miracle working power is in us. To him be glory in the church. That's us. To him be glory in the church as he changes us into his tool. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. Please stand and let's join together in prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come and work this miracle in each one of our hearts. That people around us will see your power in us. Lord, we thank and praise you for the vice grips in our lives who love us, who know that we're the imperfect nuts in their lives, and they still love us. Thank you, Lord, for working that miracle. And work that miracle in us. So that people will get just a little glimpse of your unhypocritical, perfect, saving love. Let them see your love for them in our love for them. Hear us now as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
In the sea.
Amen. You guys can be seated real quick. We still have some folks who are joining us online today. I'm just going to have everybody see that center camera. There's a little red dot right there. Could you guys just turn around and just say good morning, Bridge, to all those who are with us online. Good morning, Bridge. Here we go. All together on three. One, two, three. Good to have you guys with us online as well. Thank you so much for joining us and being part of the Bridge family. And so for all of us who are here in person, and if you are wondering online, is it safe to be able to come back? There is still space and room to be able to be socially distanced, and with the air circulating through, we feel pretty good about the way that God has been blessing us here. A couple of things that I want to make you guys aware of. Actually, we'll go back, Thomas, if you could for me. Again, this is normally where we take an offering, but to be able to continue our first fruits giving, the best way to do that is online at that link, stpaulmuskego.org/give. You can also drop an offering in a basket on the way out as well. I do want you to know that in time, and I'm not entirely sure on the timeline of this, but it's going to be happening, that we have a pretty new website that's going to be coming. And so in time, the Bridges website is going to be pulled into that, stpaulmuskego.org. So it's important for you actually to know that one, even if the Bridge is kind of your home, because we're all one church. Go on to the next slide here. It's something that, again, that we want you guys to be aware of. Young adults who are here, man, I am dying. If you are 18 to 25, I'm dying to be able to talk with you, to meet you. Myself and Jill Dunbar, we lead a young adult Bible study, and I know that not everybody fits into that camp, but there are some of you guys here today, and I know it's awkward, you know, maybe for me to be able to say, I'd love to get to know you and to meet you. But we would like to be able to walk together and to encourage one another and for you to be able to find courage and encouragement as well. So just make a note, Sunday, August 23rd at 6:30 p.m., I'll be leading the next one, and then Jill Dunbar leads every other Friday as well. So if you'd like to talk to one of us, just give me an email. And I'll just be honest, we've got like nobody, very few people from St. Paul's Muskego, and yet we have something on the order of about 300 young adults that are in our care as part of the membership of this church. It's great that we've got those people here. Now I would love for us to be able to walk together. And so let's pray for that, this generation, that is, truth is under such attack that this generation would be able to grab onto that, and that we would be willing to serve them with them as well. So if you're 18 to 25, say hi. I'd love to get to know you. All right. That's my end of my commercial for that. Pastor Pete is leading one on Zoom. Every other week, he's been trying to get small groups started. And, you know, it's harder in our COVID world, but it's easier than ever online. So if you've never been a part of that, Christian fellowship, Christian accountability, go deeper with where Pastor has been taking us in the group work. If you see those questions, that's what he's going to lead you. He's going to help you dig into it. His heart is for us to know the Bible better than we ever have known it before. And man, that is so needed today. So get in touch with Pastor Pete Pipanitsky at stpaulmuskego.org. Go ahead, Thomas. Next one for us. In View of God's Mercy is our message series. And I don't remember if I have another one after this, do I? I don't think. Oh, yeah, this is the big one. Next week, we will be outside under the trees. Next week, for those of you who are joining us online and are worried because the last time we went outdoors, it was kind of the big church thing and we didn't live stream. We have, Joel is over there in the back and in the shadows, but we have put together a portable video system that we actually use in the sanctuary. So we will be pulling that outside so that hopefully, God willing, pray for the technology, that we'll be able to live stream our Bridge and 1045 service outside under the trees. So you can social distance, you can sing without masks, the band will be there as well. So that's going to be at 10:30, something for you guys to know, and there will not be communion beforehand, okay? I think that's pretty much all of the announcements that we have here for today. So thank you for being with us. We're going to sing one more song that, again, kind of puts an exclamation point on all of this. And I'll give the blessing at the very end. Thomas, thank you. Thomas is running our slides for today. And I want you to also just thank the tech team. All of these lights here, we talk about the giving that has happened here. These lights and the lights that are full color now in the back, those were all installed today at a tremendous amount of effort and a little bit of stress by some of the guys who are in the lighting. So Matt Chapman and Mike Soom and Jim Grabka, we just want to thank them for their ministry among us as they were working today too. So as we go, we remember, Lord, If it's just words, it's just words. But love does, in fact, look like something. So, Lord, help us in this life for us to be able to clamp down on the people who are hard to love and to let go of our sinful pride. Lord, help me be the proof of your love today. Let's stand and we'll sing our last song. Yeah, we haven't done enough clapping here today, so. If I sing and don't have love, I waste my breath with every song I bring. An empty voice and hollow note.
Give all I own to the poor, or even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So, no matter what I say, no matter what I believe, no matter what I do, I'm bankrupt without love.
So let my love be the proof of your
you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. May he look on you with favor. May he give you peace. And may he empower you to walk out with that peace and share it with the world that needs it so badly. All God's people said, amen. Amen. We will be with you guys again next week. But outside, bring a friend. It's going to be a great day. And if it rains, there's a couple meteorologists that I'll put on the team, so we'll try to keep it all away. But if it rains, we will be up at the main sanctuary at 10:30 as well, and the same team will be with us. So God be with you. We will see you later.